Do you notice that there is an expectancy? There is actually something is happening to us if we have ears to hear and if we are able to listen. Because some people say to me, it's all right for you to talk about all these wonderful things, but I can't pay my bills. Well, I said to them, I said, if you learn to pay attention, first, you'll pay your bills. See, it's the attentiveness that we are able to hear that which is really absolute. It's perfect. There is no changing in it. There is perfection only. But unfortunately, this perfection, what God ordained for us, now you must remember that when God begot us out of himself, he was itself. It was itself. It's not a him or a her. It was itself that gave us the ability to become aware of something that the human mind cannot understand. Now you might say, well, how come there is a human mind in the first place? Well, there is no really a human mind. There's only a phantom, a feeling that entered into man's belief system that caused him to want to survive. Isn't it right? But of course, what we just heard before, that the belief is that God lowered the creation in order to raise him up at a future date. To be the sons of God, you know what I mean? Or the sons of God. Well, actually, I've come to the conclusion that it really means that the whole creation is travailing on tippy toes, awaiting the manifestation of the Son of God, or the offspring of God. Because God has not many sons and daughters. He only got one offspring. You see? So it's really, if we really interpret the scriptures, then we know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten self. The begotten self is the awareness that I am. And that's what it is. But somehow, now this is just a question, because this question was asked. That God certainly has no vain imagination, because there was no images other than the image what he called himself, which is called Christ. Now it also said that the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not or perceive not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, now we heard yesterday also, the gospel is not good news in the sense that it doesn't do what we think it will do. What it really does is split you in half. Like the word is like a two-edged sword. It separates the joint from the marrow. And it has a discernment of the intent of the heart. It causes a separation to take place where the phantom idea of life, because it's a phantom. You know, you can call it an illusion. An illusion is something existing in such a way as to give us a misinterpretation of the true nature of things. So you got the realm of illusion, but everything what we have heard or what we learn in this human world is vain imagination. Casting down vain imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself to the true knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, which is the image of God. And outside of that image, there is no other image. But you see, and I've written this down somewhere.
Yeah, man.
That vain imaginations, where are they? Yeah, I got it here. No, I've got it here. Yep. that the vain imaginations of the heart brings an irreversible flow of death, a constant drawing you back into the place what God did not ordain for you, which is hell. You know, and the Father said to me, he said, I will not leave your soul in hell, neither will you allow my Holy One, which he refers as me. And yesterday I said, there is no Tony, but now I'm going to say something else. There is no human Tony.
Yeah.
I am. There is no Jesus, the human. But there is Jesus, the Christ. You must always remember that we cannot just leave everything out and say, well, there's only Christ. Christ has an identity individually expressed as you and I. Are you understanding that?
Yes.
So we cannot just do away with things, because that enters again in the imaginary. But there is definitely a multiplicity in what God is. God is said, let us, Elohim, let us beget men in our image and in our likeness, and let him have dominion and authority over everything that walks, creeps, flies, and whatever it does. Huh? But we have lost this dominion because of imagination. And what is the greatest imagination is that I believe that I'm separate from God. Because don't forget, when God begot you, there was only God. And when God begot what we call Adam, there was not God and Adam. There was only Adam as God. Are you understanding that? So the mystery then of God likeness cannot be found in human language. You see, it says in the book of Isaiah 28, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand the doctrine? Or the hearing? Or the perception? Or the uida? Now, we heard this morning that Pilate said, what is truth? Now, Jesus didn't answer him. He said simply, for this cause came I into the world, that I may bear witness to truth. Huh? And everyone that has the ability to hear the voice of the Son, Jesus said, my sheep, a sheep is that which is willing to listen. Are we willing to listen? If you're willing to listen and stop asking the questions all the time, why this and why that, because of that, blah, 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 don't worry about it. It's simply happening what we know as a world. The problems of the world are all generated out of the belief in two powers, good and evil. Adam said, I'm afraid. And he started a whole regime of information that came from this world. What he called, you see, in this world you will have tribulation. You will never be able to escape it. And in the middle of the night, I woke up, well, not middle of the night, but about 4 o'clock in the morning, actually. It's not really night, but to me it is. And the Lord spoke to me a word. And he said, there is no survival. I said, what do you mean by that, Lord? Well, he said, that what generated in Genesis chapter 2, and it started as a little serpent whispering to men, if you just eat of this tree, you shall be like the Most High God. What What was that? You know, when God begot you out of himself, you already knew all things. You don't have to know more. There's nothing to know more. All what you have to realize is. God is. Love is. Yeah? And love is the knowledge of God. Isn't it strange? Love is a knowledge. Love knoweth. Yeah? Love knoweth the truth, and because love knoweth, it can hear it. Because the seeing and the hearing and the knowing is all one thing, and it's all self-contained. Do you know that? This I, what I talked about yesterday, is the substance and the nature of all form. It's the constitution of the one that begat you. We call it Father. You can also call it Mother. It doesn't really matter, but you call it Father or Mother. It is the activity of grace, the willed action. You know? God is a willed action. In the beginning is the Word. The Logos. There's a difference between the Logos and the Rhema. The Logos is the absolute reality of what the universe is expressed as, because God expresses itself as a universe. You know? He doesn't express himself in any form that we think is out there. Because you are in just as invisible as God. But now when it says in the book of Romans, I'm going to read this to you. The book of Romans, chapter 1. And like, I think it was Mike that was saying that when we read the scriptures, we must not always think that what we read is truth. But truth is still concealed in it. It's there. But it can only be revealed to you when the Holy Ghost reveals it to you. The human mind cannot analyze the scripture and say that's true and that's not true. Or that's real and that's not real. Because we can get into endless arguments. So the question then is, where did evil come from? Because we believed that we were naked. That's where it comes from. Well, if God is absolute, how can it possibly happen that man became aware of himself as something else? Well, you mean love is so great that it allows itself to be subjected to the vanity of the human mind until it comes back to itself again the way it was in the beginning. Can you hear that? That's what love does. Otherwise there was no, you know, like I say, how can you possibly love something that, well, I can't even express it. It has to be, otherwise it cannot be done. Then God has to make himself as a man and lowered himself as a man. God so loved the world that he lowered himself in the futility of the human mind in the form of Jesus. Isn't that right? And Jesus was born of a woman. So the moment that he was born, he came in the futility of humanhood. And I got a letter which I printed out. I got only about 5 or 6 copies of it, which you might have to make more, but I don't know. It's a big job. So I just hope that you will get a lot out of it and take some notes that you will be able to grasp the mystery of this thing, that how we cannot survive as humans. Now I'm going to read from Romans here, chapter 1, and it says here in verse 16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone that believes or perceives, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in that gospel is the righteousness of God, without contrast, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now I'm going to show you something what I don't agree with, even though it's there. Okay? For it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. I don't believe that. Well, what, Tony, are you saying that you change the scriptures? I don't say change the scriptures. I'm just pointing out, I said, I don't believe that. You mean that you got the choice to believe something or not? Yep. I do not have to be bound by the letter of the scriptures to make myself to be convinced that what is written is either truth or not truth. Because I've been given the discernment of spirit. And somebody says, well, have you got the discernment of evil spirits? There are no evil spirits. Spirit is not evil. Huh? So you can see then that humanity, especially in religious settings, have concocted up so many different attitudes and beliefs that are all generated out of that serpent. Started as a little snake in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and tempting us to eat of that knowledge while we already knew all things. Isn't that something? If you know all things, why would you have to know some more? Huh? I don't want to know any more. I just want to know that I already am that, what Kathy was saying. I am that. I'm not going to be that or become that. I already am that. But because of the layer upon layer, like Sara Lee's cake, you know what I mean? Layer upon layer upon layer of onion skins, whatever, ideas, concepts, and things that were formed as what we know today, the phantom man. Mike talked about that. You can go to the website, and you can, in due time, you can listen and watch all these videos and listen to the audios. And man, if you can't be settled in your convictions by then I don't know how to deal with it anymore, because everything is presented to us in such a way that there is no possibility that you can't grasp it if you really have a love for the truth. And then you settle in a rest. Now I'll just go a little bit here and there. It says spiritual rest. I don't know the author of it, but anyway. Spiritual rest is the absence of self-generated action. So can it be self-generated action? Yeah. Ever learning. You can learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. And then come to the final analysis. There's nothing that happens to me at all. Even though I know, seem to know a lot. But I've now come to the conclusion that I don't know anything. And like I say, I'm not a lecturer. What the Father speaks to me comes spontaneously. I do not know how to lecture. I do not know how to be homiletic either. I come from one end to the other end. Sometimes I give you everything I know at once, you know. I've got an inclination to do that too. And I suppose Jesus did that too, up to a degree. You know? That's why he said, hearken. Hearken means willingness to listen to what the Spirit is teaching us. You know, the Spirit is teaching us now. Because we have always believed in teachers and men that's going to teach us about God. Isn't that right? And you know, Jesus said, I must go away. Well, you are the wonderful teacher. Why are you going away? All these wonderful things are happening. And you feed the 5,000 and do all that stuff. He said, I must go away. There has to be an absence, not only of Jesus, the man, but there has to be an absence of my humanity as well, in order for love to be flowing. Isn't that good? Love is flowing like a river. And I have a destiny. Huh? Have you got a destiny? Well, if you got a destiny and the realization of what that is being revealed, there will be no more fate. Because we have closed the door behind us. And what we call the karmic forces that are control this world, and the beliefs and the imaginations of the heart that flow have an outworking that can cause every kind of thing to happen to you. And they say, why is this happening to me? I've been to church. I love God. No, you don't love God. You love your idea, what you think God is. Because nobody's ever seen or known what God is. God can only be realized. You can't put a name to God because God is nameless. You can't say God is Jehovah or God is Allah or God is this. They're all names that man has given to God, and that God usually is a pretty mean cookie. But the Father of Jesus judges no man. Huh? And he's bringing back to our remembrance by the Spirit that is. Now, you must remember, it's not just Spirit, it is the Ascended One. And really, there is only, really, I mean, there might be disagreeable with some mystical teachers, but there is only one truly Ascended One that not only took his bones with him, but gave us the Spirit of adoption by which we can cry, Abba Father. And he said, come out from among you, from among all these imaginary things, and be a shepherd, saith the Lord. And I will be a father unto you. Do not touch the unclean. Because that's unclean. Even your reasonings are unclean. The only thing what is really clean is the willingness to be able to receive the engrafted word that can save the soul. You know? So this is why it said there is an anointing. In 1 John chapter 2, it says there is an anointing now, and that anointing is the Spirit of Christ Jesus. Okay? I say Christ Jesus because if I should just say Christ, there is no identity there. I believe, of course, everybody is Christ. But there's one that has ascended far above all principality and powers and every ruler of the darkness of this world and ascended into the height of spiritual mastery that cannot be, you cannot go any higher than that. That is the height, that's where God is. Now where God is. And where I am, that ye may be there also. In the paradise that God has ordained and placed you in there. He's placed you there, but the place, although it's prepared for you, has to be found by you. There's a pearl of great price that has to be found. It's in you, it's there, but it has to be recognized over and above the well, let's say it this way, over and above everything what you have learned. Because Jesus said, everyone that hears my voice is of the truth. Huh? Isn't that wonderful that actually he said that? So if we are, when we get the question, what is truth? Jesus said, for this cause came I into the world, that I may bear witness to the truth. And everyone that is of the truth, he is my voice. They will not say, why is this and why is... No. The sheep, you know, the goats say, they bark, you know. And the sheep said, amen. You know what I mean? We agree with the voice. And we also agree with our adversary. Because if you agree with one that opposes you and say, I agree with you, now it might almost seem that you're compromising in it, right? But no, I know, I am not in the argument anymore of comparing what I know with what you know. Because I know nothing, so you can't compare it then. Isn't that right? There you go, see? So, in the book of Romans then. Now, Romans 1. For then it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Well, of course, that's what I agree with. They, men, all sorts of men, religious men, philosophical men, science men, hold the truth. They do not hold the truth, or they hold the truth in unrighteousness. They do not really know the truth. Now the wrath of God, what is it? Can you explain to me what the wrath of God is? Well, it's not really the wrath of God, it's the wrath of the law. Are you hearing that? It's the wrath of the law, because, or the law of God. Don't worry about that. It's the wrath of the law. Are you understand? What you sow, what you read, you stick your hand in the fire, you get burned. That's the wrath of the law. Are you hearing that? There is no God. God has no wrath. You know, love has no wrath. No. Love just loves. That's what it does. It loves. It doesn't have any opinion of itself and say, hey, you better behave yourself, otherwise we're going to get you. No, love does not demand anything from you. But because there is no demand, you are then a being that has to find its way back to the place where it belongs. Without law. Without a restraining or pushing or shoving or trying to get you to behave better. Well, I'm telling you, if God would try to make me behave better, he's got a big problem. Because I do not always behave very nice. But God does not know about that. He didn't even know that I was drinking myself to death. He didn't even know how ugly I was in my humanity. He doesn't know that. And you know what? I don't know that anymore now either. Because I don't exist as something else. I can only be what I am now. Because I've transcended the mind. I've transcended at least the thoughts that the mind was in. And it says, let this mind be in you. Now, I think I've shared it with you before, but I'm telling you, there is no word for mind in Dutch or in German. So there, the English thing with the mind of Christ, well, you know, but there are more people in the world that have no cognizance of the English language. So the English language cannot be used as an example that's the absolute or truth. Are you understanding that? Because what the Dutch say is, let this mind be in you, has a totally different meaning than what we teach in metaphysics or Christian science or whatever thing what we have trusted in. You know what it really means? Let this sense or feeling be in you that was also in Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but became obedient even to the death of the cross. That's the thing. That's the mind. The feeling of belonging to a loving God that never judges, never does anything. But Jesus was aware of that. I mean, when he would say to in open that to the Jews, to the Pharisees and the scribes and the doctors of the law, "My Father judges no man." Wow. Because he knew the Father. And the scripture says, well, I know, call no man your father. Who is my father? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? But those that can perceive the real cause of all life. You know, the cause is in here. The pearl is in here. The sustaining factor that can keep you for eternity is here. And you know, whether you hear it or whether you don't hear it, all shall know me. All shall know the love principle or the loving action that's taking place right here and now among us. Delivering us from all karmic law. Or the influences that we had right through our lifetimes. And we are no longer debating whether you come back as a bullfrog or as a dirty old rat, you know. No, I don't believe that. Once we have come to the recognition of what I truly am, I'm free from the cosmic law or the karmic law that causes that wrath to come upon me. You know, that's the wrath. But the wrath is not of God. Love has no wrath. This is why a dove is symbolized as that, you know, the white dove. You know, the dove is the only bird that has no gall. There's no gall of bitterness. There's no gall of resentment. You know, you can take a dove and screw its head off and it doesn't complain. No, we've got to learn to get ahead without a head. So let God screw your head off, you know what I mean? Well, if we are really the sheep of his pastures, then we can say amen to everything what God is, because we know love cannot hurt you. It cannot even kill you if it tried. Because the love that God begot you out of is himself, and he's certainly not going to kill himself, is he now? No, God is. God is everlasting to everlasting. But then it says, because there is a measure of truth in every word that's written in this book. You know? Somebody said, well, you know, this Holy Bible is inscribed and ordained by God to be. You cannot change it, or you can't do anything to it. You've got to believe everything that's written in there. Did God ordain that Judas hanged himself? It's written. If you believe that, then you also must believe that God, everything what happened, that all the murder and the slaughter and everything what happened, so-called Old Testament, there is no such thing as an Old Testament. It was a journey and a thing what the Jews experienced, you know, and they believed that the actions and the problems that we were facing was God doing them. But, you know, it says very clearly in 1 Corinthians 10 that as Moses, they were all, and he said, "Be not ignorant, my brethren, as all your forefathers were baptized unto Moses in the sea. And they all drank of that spiritual drink and ate of that spiritual meat." So you can see that Moses had a revelation of the I Am. That, and you know, he led 3 million people through the Red Sea into the wilderness, and it says that for 40 years there was not one feeble one among them. Their shoes didn't wear out. What is this? Well, of course, Moses had a revelation, but he could not bring this revelation to the people. You know, and he smote the rock, and God didn't send, God told him to speak to the rock, not smite it. So the things began to happen, and they were overthrown in the wilderness, and it says and that they were destroyed by the serpents of their own mind. Their old beliefs, they want to go back to Egypt. They want to go back to the flesh pots of Egypt. You know, can you just imagine the leeks and the garlic? Oh, bad breath. Oh. All that stuff. Look, we don't want to go back to Egypt now, do you? I want to walk in immortality. Everybody wants that. Don't you want that? Well, you can. You can come back to the Father and walk in paradise. Because Christ walks in paradise. He doesn't walk in the world. He is here and it's invisible. And it walks in you and through you and reveals itself to you. Now, it says here, because which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are with God without excuse. So we have, there's not one person in the whole of the world, I don't care where they are, because this thing speaks in every soul. And even Paul said, unto the whole of creation the gospel was preached. So you don't have to go and evangelize it. Now, God didn't evangelize the prodigal son, did he? Did he try to get him out of his predicament? Did the father ring and say, "How you know? What, you know, we've got to get him out." No, he just left him in hell until he came to himself. And we are himself. You are creatures of himself, and that's what James said. That we have to, you know, be not generated, or let your mind not generate error anymore. Don't let the imaginations that are generated from the observable world that you can see and the judgment that you make, or that becomes a not only a vain imaginary thing, it becomes an atmosphere of frustration. Like I said, what Kathy was saying about the wake behind the boat, it's a disturbance, it's a great. And the action of life that causes the thing to go, but you see the remnant of it. It's a disturbance, isn't it? And that's where they get the disturbance in the mind, because we look behind us. And you know what Lot's wife happened to Lot's wife? She looked behind and she turned into a pillar of salt. Now what does a pillar of salt represent? A total nervous breakdown.
Yes.
Completely alienated from the vision that lay before her. She looked back because she had a nice little kitchen in Sodom and Gomorrah. Little house, you know, and little kitchen where she was cooking all that stuff, you know, all that good stuff. And she remembered the leeks and the garlic and all that nice stuff, you know what I mean? And the ornaments were hanging on the wall. All the little trinkets and everything. Oh, I know. And then she had called out because God's going to destroy the whole thing. Well, you know, all these things are symbolic. The things that happened when God destroyed everything, that is simply not God sovereignly doing that. It's the outworking of the imaginations and the constant development of the serpent life, the phantom existence that caused the judgment to come. Judgment do not come by God saying, "Oh, you know, you're a bad boy, you know, burn them up." No. Everything what happens in this world is the cause of human imagination. Because we do not know anymore what the true image of God, so we have to form many images. And there are not many images, only one. Casting down imagination. Okay? Then it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse. Because that. Now, that knows God. I am that. There's a message on a DVD here. You can get one. I am that. But then it says, because that, when they knew God, when they knew that that which is God is what I am, when they knew God, they glorified it not as God, but became vain. And neither were they thankful, because they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, blinded by the God of this world, which is the law God. They were blinded by a belief that God requires something of them. They were constantly creating altars to worship God, what they thought was God. And you know, every tribe, every you know, pagan practice is all based upon the same idea. They want to please God. And they, you know, threw their maidens in the volcanoes trying to please God. Even the Jews were offered their babies to what they believed God was. They done all these abominable things through their vain imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Huh? They were blinded. See, blinded is the word peru. It means to be calcified, to no longer have that spiritual values of life can no longer penetrate because the mind is calcified. It's deadened and cannot hear anymore. It becomes so dense and dull, it's just a dead thing. You know what I mean? It cannot perceive truth anymore. Professing themselves to be wise, they became as fools. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, or the incorruptible God, into an image like unto corruptible men. See? They began to look at man as if man was God. You know? And they began to worship man, follow man. Like you see it now today in big congregations, they follow man. They got a nice white suit on. And I heard one man say, he said, you know what today's generation, what we know, all these big congregations, he called them temple tramplers. You know, they worship the man rather than they worship God, because they think that the man can do something for them. They can pray for you and you get healed. So they're searching all the time for survival. Now, can we survive as humans? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, we will not survive as humans. Humanity and this world as we know it is falling apart at the seams. It's in a destructive mode and is declining rapidly, like the Roman Empire, like the Persian Empire, like the Aztec Empire. I don't care what you call an empire, whatever it came, or the Napoleon Empire, or the Hitler Empire. I don't care what you call it, but it is falling apart. This world is disintegrating. So can we survive? Okay, I'm going to take a scripture now to 2 Peter chapter 3. Take a note of this so you can remember what you heard today. Second Peter chapter 3. Let's just read from verse 2. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles, as the apostles of the Lord Jesus, Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. Now, ungodly ideas, ungodly thoughts, all godly imaginary things, what men thinks about, okay? Now, stay with me, then, because this is what you call wonderful, if you can hear it. And he said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, and that all should come to repentance. Now, the word repentance speaks to us basically from a moral standpoint. Isn't that right? I'm a sinner. I'm going to repent. I'm gonna give my heart to Jesus, and then I can go to heaven when I die. Huh? What is generally believed to be repentance. It can also mean you got to be baptized, or you got to do this and do that. Some this like performance stuff, you know. But then the Lord says that all should come to repentance. Now, I would like to, because the word repentance is metanoia. It's actually turn around, and it actually means transformation. Not transform, you know, repentance is being sorry for your sin and then come to God, you know, all that. But transformation is something different altogether. That when this mortality that we lived in and the imaginations of the heart, which will bring about hell in your life. I made my bed in hell too. And all the Christians would say to me, Tony, you're going to go to hell when you keep on doing that. I said, man, I've been in hell so long, why don't you show me a way out? Because I want to survive. But then I got the revelation from the Lord, even last night he spoke to me again. You can't survive. Humanity cannot survive. It has to be dissolved. Until that one is come whose right it is. Isn't that right? And I am in that coming. Are you in the coming?
Yeah, I'm
ready. Are you in the revealing? Revealing of the sons of God. You know, the word revealing was... It's a mystery because it was veiled before. Revealed means it was already there in the beginning with God. It's now again revealed. And you know, the word also remembrance is now, you know, we once had a spiritual identity. We actually have already a spiritual body which we have forgotten. This spiritual body is there. It's here. But we've been living in the imaginations that this what we call physical, it's not physical, is the mind that has formed this idea of physicality. But in truth, the body is spiritual and has no, it's not subject to death, it's not subject to fire, it's not subject to disease, it's not subject to every plague what we see in this world. This is the corruption. And Peter says also, 2 Peter 1, he said, unto us are divine promises given, that by these, that we can escape the corruption by the divine nature of God. The divine nature of God is love, understanding where there is no more you, to criticize anything, not even yourself. And you know, when this enlightenment comes to you, you know what's going to happen. You no longer have to go to any preacher to get yourself healed for, you know, and give you the Pentecostal rub or something like that. No, you come to the realization, it's not, at least that's what Lenin quoted, it's no longer to be healed, but to get a revelation. Because once you got that revelation that's inwardly showing to you, that brings about a remembrance. Remember that I had already have a body eternal in the heavens. Isn't that good?
Yes.
So this thing, what we are, is spirit, and spirit has a body that can never die. And it's wonderful because in His grace, God has given us the ability to see each other in that way, in that light. So if you want to see somebody get well, begin to see them the way they truly are. And they will feel the love that God is for you. You know, you might say, oh, God loves everybody. Yeah, I know. How do you love? Do you feel that same towards, oh, no, I don't like that one. Well, there is no more liking or disliking. There's only beholding that which is, which is perfect. And that is where we see deliverance coming. That's when the creation that's travailing until now, until will be the manifestation of that offspring of God that is now realizing itself as it was in the beginning with God, is coming into manifestation, and there will be signs following. These signs shall follow them that believe. So, but the church in general, as you know, they say, you know, you got to check out the signs, what's happening over there. No, they're looking for signs. And you know, the only sign that will ever be given is the sign of Jonah. And what was that? The sign that we have to enter into the belly of a fish. You know, where we, like Jesus said, like Jonah, I said, I must go be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and three nights, you know, which was the proof then that he was dead. And then he come and showed himself. You know. And you know what? The one that rose from the dead was not the man Jesus. It was the Christ Jesus. Yeah? That bore the name, I am that. It was the Christ. But, you know, don't forget, the scripture also said that this Jesus, whom you have crucified, God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. Now that's the total and fullness of the name of God, is Lord Jesus Christ. Because that is the consciousness of the one that first descended and became one of us and bore all the iniquity and all the sin upon himself and then done away with it.
Yeah.
Now that is what I call the vicarious. Some people don't understand the vicarious. Well, I do. Because if you have been in a dark hole like that, where I was in hell, and then I began, you know, I expected to see the devil, and then I opened my eyes and there was Jesus, the ascended one. You know, not the man of the with the sandals and the robes, not the presence of that thing that conquered death, hell, and the grave revealed itself unto me, and he said, "Come unto me, and you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So there is no rest in the man. There's only a rest in the ascended one, and I hear his voice. And I will not listen to strangers, because there are many strangers, and none of these strangers are without significance. They're all, there are many presentations of wonderful things that people have spoken, including the mystical and the, you know, in general, whatever, but it still cannot give you the substance of remembering. Being remembered means that every part of your body, everything but you, is going to be quickened by the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Isn't that good? And that's what I'm experiencing. And you know, all that stuff about getting old and aging and, you know, wrinkles is all because of the imaginations. And I want to get out of the imagination so that this real thing, which is the spiritual idea of God, will come forth. Yes. It's coming forth and bringing deliverance to the captives. Yes. Bring the light back. And I'm going to read something from Walter Lanyon here. That's not in the books of Walter Lanyon, but it's a foreword that he spoke. And he said, an infinite weariness came over me when I thought of the thousands of testimonies and statements of what the power would and could do for me. I seemed to look out over a sea of faces, turning to an army of speakers who were listening, they were listening to, and speaking the words of Jesus. Everybody seemed to be agreeing that it was true. But where was the manifestation? I mean, we can hear and hear and learn and teach and buy more words, words, more words, but do we ever come into the knowledge of the remembrance that we have forgotten? That's the idea of it. You know, we use foolishness of words, but in the final analysis, you've got to work out your own salvation. And you come to a realization, because I'm telling you, humanity will not survive. And the more time goes on, the darker it becomes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to be in that company called the first fruits. I want to be that of the Son of God that's going to be manifest. Huh? And you can say to the sick and the lonely and the tormented, come unto me. Then you can say that. And they will feel it. And you say, okay, sit down. There's a little boy here with a couple of loaves and a couple of fishes, and everybody was hungry, sitting on a hillside, being hungry there, listening to the man Jesus. Well, but now something had to happen. They were hungry. Well, you know, Jesus was now no longer the man. It was now the Christ that was speaking. Jesus was already dead after he came out of the wilderness, and he said, Satan, get thee behind me. And what he's saying, he was not saying some angel with a red pair of pajamas on floating around with a pitchfork. No. It was his own disposition that was tempted severely for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And it says he was with the beasts of the field. And somebody says, what do you mean by that? Were there beasts there in the Middle East? Were there tigers or lions? No. The beasts were in here. The imaginary thing, what nobody likes to experience, is death. It's a survival syndrome. I must live. And that's where the tempter comes. Especially when you'll be 40 days, and I believe he was without food and water. I can't prove it, but I believe so. So can men then live without food and without water? Well, it says, no, men cannot do that. But man shall not live by bread alone. You know, although it's nice to have some nice bread, and we are so concentrated on food and keeping the body healthy and strong, you know what I mean, and all that stuff. But in the final analysis, it's going to perish. It's going to perish. If we do not get a revelation of the new body, or the thing that's made without hands, that's eternally in the heavens, and every one of you is going to experience, even if it takes a million years for you to come to that realization, you will experience the resurrection and ascension from the dead. I believe I've already experienced resurrection. But I have not ascended. Yes, yet. But I'm getting there. But you can imagine when that takes place, that which is seen as a man will disappear. Didn't that disappear on the Mount of Transfiguration?
Yes.
The man Jesus disappeared. And his radiance will become like light. And then the disciples were, my God, you know. And you know, all those that have ascended, or at least came into a place like Moses and Elijah. Elijah went up in a whirlwind, remember? He ascended physically. And it says that they couldn't find the body of Moses anywhere. They looked for it, but couldn't find it, so he must have gone also. But Jesus showed them the example. And the disciples saw it. They saw the invisible. They heard the inaudible, because nobody could hear it if they would be looking on. So there was an atmosphere there of spiritual reality that appeared just for a little while, so that the disciples could be energized, or at least get some feeling of that it is more than just physicality and living as a human. Or trying to, you know. Look, and I'm going to say this now. Jesus never, as a man, had a healing ministry. But you see, the spiritual aspect now that is generating within us is bringing about that thing what humanity needs. Not just a Pentecostal rock, you know, zap you. No. I'm come that you may have life. Are you hearing that? And life more abundantly. It's wonderful, isn't it? Don't get too excited about all the miracles that are around, because we are sidetracked from the reality that it is a higher realm where we must enter into, and it can only be done by submission. Submission to the spiritual. No longer trying to adjust the humanity that has already got too far gone anyway. We're trying to keep it alive with pills and potions and all that stuff. We're giving a good Robin, well, you know. Yeah, well, it's okay. Let it be so now. Don't worry about it. Just go and have your pills and your potions, and it doesn't matter. But eventually, we're going to rise out of all that stuff. You know. And the light that is already in you, because God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to give you back the knowledge. The Yuida. It's no longer the gnosis or the epikinosis. It's now the Yuida. It's now the ability to hear what is spoken to you from within. Huh? This is what the secret is. The secret is to be living from the center of our being, and you are now untouched by the thoughts, the opinions, the laws and the theories of the world. Nothing acts upon you because you do not react to the world of appearances. You don't react. Do I react sometimes? Well, I know I shouldn't. I do sometimes, but I'm getting more and more the awareness now within myself that I must not see anybody from an outer appearance or thing. I must see that which, because the only thing what's there is the Christ. There is no longer a human to Tony or a human Martha or a human Mike or a human whoever your name is. It is no longer there. I don't see you as a human. I do not see you as something that was born. Because if I do, you're going to get the experience of death.
Yes.
I was never born. I'm from the everlasting Father. I came forth into the world to bear witness to the truth.
Amen.
And those that are of the truth will hear my voice. And they will not listen to strangers. So this is what Walter Lennon said. Not all the combined testimony of the human mind put together would raise itself a quarter of an inch, relatively speaking, as compared to the sublime heights that were promised us. I felt no condemnation for anything or anybody. I suddenly knew they were groaning and travailing for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. They too were seeking the concrete manifestation of the Word. I saw innumerable Bibles containing precious promises being actually used, and a roaring stream of metaphysical books pouring out with their message of what could be done and what is to be expected. I knew that there was enough power stated therein to blow 1,000 universes of supposed evil into nothingness. I tried to drone over the statements of the truth, but something said to me, no, not that. Something in me beat fiercely against the doors of these promises and said, open up to me. And I do not want any more words. I want manifestation. Manifestation means that I come back to the remembrance that I am begotten of the Father and that my nature is full of grace and full of truth. And love is something so wonderful. I'll close with that in first Corinthians, very famous. First Corinthians 13. Thou wilt speak with the tongues of men and have not, and of angels and have not love, I am becoming a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. Thou have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And thou I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not a loving attitude, I am nothing. And thou I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and thou I have given my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. Now I could say, I suffer long. Aren't you love? Love. You are love. You know that you're love. You might not know it yet, but you are love. And when love is attacked, it suffers long. If it's evil spoken about, it suffers long. It will not yield to the accusations of men or make you feel that you are not wanted or feeling that you are something inferior or whatever. You're not. You are beautiful. You are holy and blameless before God, you know. So love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up in pride. Does not behave itself unseemingly. Seeks not her own and is not easily provoked. I think no evil. Let's all say that again. I think no evil. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
It doesn't seek its own, is not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices only in the truth. It bears all things and believes all things. It hopes all things and endures all things. Love never fails. And like I said yesterday, love does not struggle or battle. It doesn't need to win. It simply doesn't fail. Because it got no opposite to itself, so it's got no arguments in itself to change something. It simply is. Huh? Isn't that good? But whether there be prophecies, how many prophecies do we have in our minds? You know, somebody said to you, you're going to die because you got this. There's a prophecy coming from somebody else telling you that you're going to die. And you believe it, and sure enough, you're going to die. And you say, I told you so. Well, there you go. They are prophecies. Prophecies. Now, isn't that wonderful? They're prophecies. They will fail. So all the stuff that's been told you that you're not going to, you're going to be sick, you're going to be down and out, you're going to not make it, you're going to fail. And then you say, no. I will not fail because I'm love. And love doesn't fail. Say it to them. Look in their eyes and say, I shall not fail because love cannot fail. As long as I love and be in that love, I cannot fail. Isn't that good? So then prophecies will cease. They fail. Whether there be tongues. How many? All the talk. It will fail. All the rhetoric of the human language, which has performed so ugly and to create such monstrosities in the world, will fail. Knowledge will cease. Gnosko will cease. It does not try anymore because it doesn't work. It fails. How we have tried to preserve this United States and its system and its democracy. And you know, it's all set up and it's all based and started from a moral issue in believing that God knows about our sin. And we stand up a constitution of moral excellence that we want to attain. And you will never attain to it. Not even Jesus could attain to it as a man. Why do we think that if Jesus could not attain to excellent morality, when he said, why do you call me good? Only God is good. We don't have to attain anything. We only have to recognize what we already are. We are full of grace and full of truth. Against such there is no law. Okay? So we see then that all these things will fail. Whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come. You listen, you are now hearing that thing that is perfect, that's coming to you. It's coming to you by revelation. By an inner tutor, by an inner awareness, by an inner realization that transcends or transforms the mind into realizing that it's now aware of something that cannot be described by words. But it can be realized with real eyes and with ears that can hear. Huh? Beyond thought. Beyond word. The kingdom of God is not in word or in thought. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We are on the verge of, well, I think we are all already entering through the door not only of paradise and the recognition to be able again to eat from the tree of life that has been, you know, obscured to the human mind. By the angel, by the cherubim that stood in front there with a flaming sword. You can't enter there with your human ID. Can you just imagine that this human thing could enter into a place of immortality? Can you just imagine a caterpillar that would live eternally as a caterpillar? Where its destiny is not a caterpillar at all. The caterpillar needs to go, it needs to die. Is there anything left of the caterpillar when it goes through the transformation? Through the transition? No, there's only the butterfly.
That's right.
And there's nothing left. But now I can fly. I spring, I flop my wings. I am now the living creature that flies and moves and it is being in the presence of God. And all shall know it. All shall know it. Everybody shall go through the metamorphosis of the human destructive thing, what we call the phantom man. And we're coming out as pure gold. In the awareness that God is our Father and He loves us so much that He came and descended Himself, became one of us. Somebody said to me, if God will be one of us, actually there was a song on the radio about that. Have you heard it? If God will be one of us, what would He do? Well, He did it. He became one of us. And He took upon Himself everything what humanity has ever felt and experienced and died with it as the last Adam. The last phantom died so long ago. But we are still walking around in this mist of unreality where we experience the curse of the law. But we no longer have to have that.
Yes.
We can be free from the curse and experience life as it was ordained for everyone to experience. Thank you very much.